What's happening, everyone? Welcome to the Celtics Talk Podcast. I'm Kyle Draper, joined by special co-host Brian Scalabrine. Dude, I never thought I'd get you back on the Celtics Talk Podcast.
That's because you're too little, man. You're not on my level.
Dude.
You're only on my level for pregame, postgame, during the game. But the podcast, Kyle, you got to get your followers up.
What happened to Ubuntu? Bring me up, big fella. Build people up. Don't rip them down.
No, you know what it is, Kyle? You got to grow on your own, man. I can't continue to carry you left and right. And, you know, like, your career, you're going places, man. But you got to grind a little bit. You're kind of losing it. You're getting soft a little bit.
I may not have the numbers, but my followers are very passionate about Drapes, bro. And so that's equally as important. I mean, if you got 100,000 followers and they're just, you know, ho-hum, they don't engage with you, what's the point of that? But if you got 10,000 who are hitting you up every day, Drapes, man, you the man. That's more important, Scott.
I think the only reason why it's important and they have that loyal following is because you actually text these people back.
I know. That is true. I actually replied. Dude. I'm like, oh, my God, somebody tweeted at me. Let me respond.
I gotta let this dude know what's up.
That's true. All right, in just a minute, we're going to check in with A'Sherrod Blakely down in Atlanta, who's with David Aldridge of NBA.com, NBA TV, and Turner Sports. But first, Scal, the Celtics coming off a loss against Cleveland. A lot of people saying they are who we thought they were. You pretty much said, however, though, Cleveland's the class of the East. I mean,
yeah.
So no matter what happened Wednesday night, your opinion didn't change, right?
No, I mean, so here's some things, right? I think Cleveland is the best team in the Eastern Conference. Right. But I also believe that the Celtics, you know, dealing with some injuries this year, you know, I thought that they could have been – had more wins than they're probably going to end up with. I thought they're going to be – you know, anywhere between like 55 and 57. I thought they have regular season lightning in a bottle, good ball movement, good coaching. But, you know, at certain times, injuries come into play, and they seem to really, you know, when a guy goes out, it takes him a while to adapt. And then when a guy comes back, it takes him a while to adapt.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I do think Cleveland's the best team in the East, as in they're going to the NBA Finals. And it's as clear as day to me, regardless of what the Cavs do. But the Celtics are in a good position for the roster that they have.
Yeah, but, you know, with that being said, they went into that game tied with Cleveland, and I've heard you say this phrase a lot, regular season lightning in a bottle. How does that go from regular season lightning in a bottle to making some noise in the playoffs?
They don't have enough size and length to make noise in the playoffs. That's what it is. I mean, in the playoffs, everyone knows what everyone's doing. So if you can game plan against everybody, what's the difference? Well, sometimes the difference is just 6'7" to 6'2", 5'9" to 6'3". Right. That adds up over 100 possessions on each end of the floor. So, you know, I think that's – I mean, if you ask any of the coaches or you ask the front office or you ask scouts out there, you say, what do the Celtics need? They need more length. They're just really small. Now, they're well-coached and they got good players and they got some gamers, but you can't be small at five positions. You could be small at one. You could be small at two. Five positions smaller than most teams you play against, that's hard to win that way.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, the Celtics didn't play well against the Cavs. That happens. The Atlanta game Thursday night, we'll see, you know, how they come out of that. But the thing about the Celtics, and I hope they aren't falling into this trap here the last few games, because I think for the Celtics, there is some carryover from regular season to postseason, Scout. The Cavs, they can flip the switch. Can the Celtics flip the switch?
No, I think a lot of it has to do with matchups and who they're playing. And, you know, I think what's interesting is they're going to have home court advantage, just obviously. But if you're looking to advance further into – you want to go to the Eastern Conference Finals, I think it's necessary. That means I don't think that they will win if they don't have home court against Washington or Toronto in the second round. Just like I don't think that they can beat Cleveland if they don't have – I don't think they can beat Cleveland either way, but – you don't want to fall off and end up being behind Washington or Toronto here. So I don't think that they could shut it down. And I think the Cavs could. I think that they could be a two seed and get to where they want to go. It doesn't matter for them as much as a team that's never won a series and never won a road game.
Well, one of the biggest issues for the Celtics, and we've talked pretty much the last 10 pregames about this, what to do when Isaiah Thomas is off the floor. How do you minimize that impact, I guess, or lack of impact when IT is off the floor? How do you, you know, try to get by when IT's out?
So if I was a coach, like, the way I would look at it, I wouldn't treat it like the elephant in the room that no one talks about. I would address it. I would talk to – I would bring guys in. I would, you know, specifically say, you know, A.B., when Isaiah's out, I need you to be more aggressive. When Isaiah's out, I need you to make more plays. I need you guys to crack the free throw line. We gotta get inside the paint. Like, see how the ball is just going around? I mean, individually – you got to challenge guys. And I think those two guys, because it's a pick-and-roll league and there's a, you know, 60, 70 pick-and-rolls in every game. So I would challenge those two guys and say, I need you guys to do more. I don't need you to do more all the time, but during this time, during these 15 minutes or whatever it may be, I need you to do more this game. So when Isaiah's off, I'm giving you that neon green light. That's what how I would address it. I would not ignore it. Right. I would definitely not ignore it because
but everybody knows they see the same numbers.
I don't know if they do. You know what? It's funny. I talked to Brad yesterday and I said, you know, you guys are 4-9 on nights where you have more than 2 days rest. Right. And he had no idea. And I remember as a player, all I cared about was like how to guard the pick and roll on the left wing. We're doing this on the right wing. We're doing that. The up high. We're doing that. How's the team playing? Sometimes I don't even know how a team is trending. Like you ask the player, like, man, you know, Bucks are better than I thought. And the player would say, really? What's their record? And right. I say, it's this. Oh, what? Oh yeah. They've won 8 of the last 10. Really? I have no idea. The
players don't know that.
No. We know that. And I know that because I got to do 15 hours a week of NBA radio. I know that. I know every trend going on because I got to study. Players are like, they care about coverages.
Right.
We don't care about coverages. I mean, I care about coverages. But typically, you just want to find out for a player, what does this guy do? What does he like to do? You're studying your guy, your opponent. What is his tendencies? You're not necessarily looking at trending topics.
Now, is Brad protecting Isaiah because he's 5'9"? Like, should Isaiah be playing more minutes? I mean, if Isaiah plays more minutes, will they have a better shot to win? And is he not?
Yes.
No, I mean, but so well, why isn't he? Is it because he's 5'9"?
No.
And then you start having diminishing returns, you think? Or,
okay, so let's just go to the extreme here, right? Isaiah plays 48 minutes. Does it hurt your chances of winning in the playoffs if he's toast in the playoffs?
Right.
Okay, so you admit that. That's too much.
Yeah, that's too
much. Okay, so when you go down the list, at what point, and then what about, you know, you ever, obviously, Isaiah has the ball in his hands almost all the time, right?
Yeah,
so just imagine, it's not like he's out there coasting. Like, when I played, I sat in the corner on offense. This guy's going through 3-4 pick and rolls on one possession. So now you're going to ask him to do that. You're going to ask him to guard because, you know, the other team is running pick and roll too. So he has to guard and fight through picks. I mean, at what point does the guy just get tired and then he becomes – ineffective,
right?
A point of diminishing returns. There is a point at which Isaiah Thomas goes to a point where it doesn't work anymore, and Brad has to find that sweet spot. I think in the playoffs you'll see 3 to 4 more minutes from him per game.
No, I you know, the numbers are so, the contrast is so stark.
Yeah,
you know, part of me is like, do you give Isaiah shorter breaks? You know what I mean, like 2 or 3 minute breaks, and because the way that Cavs game was, it was like Isaiah was out half the quarter. And I understand he played the first quarter. But the Celtics were down by, you know, 15, 17 points, whatever it was. By the time he gets back in, the game is, you know, almost over, basically. You know, that's a huge amount to overcome, especially against a good team like Cleveland. And so what I would like to see Brad do is maybe do shorter stints for Isaiah. Maybe not play him 12 in the first quarter. Play him 7, give him 2 minutes. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is.
You can't overreact to, like, okay, let's just break this down. You saw LeBron's performance at the start of the second.
Yeah.
Would you say that was, like, some of the best basketball you've seen?
Oh, yeah. He just took over. Yeah,
all right.
It was just like.
So, do you think that Isaiah Thomas is really going to make a difference during that time? Like, what? Tell me what you think.
Why are you trying to keep it real, Scout? I'm trying to figure out a way that when he's not out, like, how do you get over this? You know, it's like, I totally understand what you mean. Like, LeBron's going to do what LeBron's going to do. And, you know, not maybe Kawhi Leonard or somebody like that can stop him. But I don't know. I just feel like their only hope is if Isaiah is on the court more than 30 minutes. Mm. That's for sure, I think. You know, or do other guys got to step up? Yes, but can other guys step up?
So that's like when you say their only hope can't be – their only hope is Isaiah plays 48 minutes. Their only hope has to be other guys have to play well. Like, it's the playoffs. You're going against all good teams.
Right.
And all good teams that know what you're going to do. Other guys have to play well. It's as simple as that. And like I keep mentioning, other guys got to step out of their comfort zone during the times that Isaiah has not played. Guess what? Everybody on this team at some point was the man someplace in their life, right?
Yeah.
We can all agree. Whatever.
At some point.
At some
high
point.
School, whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah, yeah, whatever.
And some of these guys have been the man in the NBA at, you know, for stints,
yeah.
Right? So they just got to tap into being the man for, what is it, 13 minutes a night in the playoffs?
Right.
And the team's got to trust it. And I think everyone has to have a more aggressive mindset. Once again, it's not some, you know, invisible elephant in the room. You address the issue.
All right, more with Scal coming up in just a little bit. But first, let's check in with A'Sherrod Blakely, who had a chance to sit down with NBA.com's David Aldridge. Listen in.
I am joined now by David Aldridge of TNT, NBA TV, and NBA.com. David, welcome to the Celtics podcast. Appreciate your time.
What's up, brother? How you doing?
I know. I'm trying to be all formal about it. let's just jump right into it, man. I mean, your thoughts on that Cleveland-Boston game, which was supposed to be this battle for supremacy in the Eastern Conference.
You know what? My thoughts are simple. That dude is still that dude. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's real simple. When LeBron is fully engaged and you know, really got his legs under him, you know, he's still the best player in the league. You know, now the question is, can he be that guy all the time? Can he be that guy 16 times in the playoffs? Because if he is, they're going to win again. But question is, can he be that guy? And that's what we have to find out. It's been not only this season, as we've talked about many times, but the last 12 seasons, you know. So, I mean, it's just a lot of mileage.
Right.
A lot of mileage.
Yeah, and it doesn't seem like the miles are being cut back the least bit. In fact, it seems like he's being asked to carry even more of the load of late. I mean, are you concerned about how much he's going to have in the tank come playoff time?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what the question is. Like, you know, I know he can do it. The question is, can he do it, you know, enough times against better competition? You know, I still think Cleveland is the favorite in the East, but it's not going to be 4-4-5 like it's been most of the last couple
right.
of years for them, you know, where they just have had no problems in any of the rounds. It's going to be a little harder this year, you know. You know, the second round especially, and I think the conference final are going to be tougher for them this year. I don't think they'll have any problem in the first round, but, you know, whether it's Washington or Toronto in the second round, and whether it's, you know, one of those Boston-Toronto in the conference final, I mean, I do think that they're going to have a tougher time of it this year than they've had. And, you know, that doesn't even, you know, bring up what Golden State might have for him in the finals. So
right.
it's going to be harder. And so that's why the issues with LeBron and the team are a little more relevant this year, because the competition's better, and I don't think Cleveland's quite as good as they were last year.
Mm-hmm. And now, you know, with Cleveland, you know, reminding us all that, yes, they are the champions, and yes, they are still the best team in the East. You know, the Celtics are kind of, you know, they're pretty much not quite locked into that number two spot, but certainly it looks all signs pointing towards that's where they're going to wind up. Are they the next best team in the Eastern Conference from what you've seen this year?
I mean, I don't know, because I think Toronto, a full Toronto, now that Lowry's back, you know, we won't get to see them really until the playoffs. But I think that they were very, very good without him. They managed to win games. I think that they had the best trade deadline of all the contending teams in the East. I think Tucker really helped them a lot. Ibaka helped them as well. But, So my guess is Boston's probably the second best team, but I still think Toronto's in there. I think Washington's in there, but until they start playing better defense, I can't really put them up with those top teams, because their defense has been awful since the All-Star break.
Yeah, and the Celtics has been just the opposite. Their defense since the break, I think they're like fifth in the league defensive rating since the All-Star break. And so for them, you know, that was their MO when Brad got here. We're going to be a very good defensive team. And then all of a sudden, they became the shot chuckers this year. How do you think that's going to play out with not just the Celtics, but just in general, just so many teams are relying on shot making to be successful? How do you think that's going to change in the playoffs, if at all?
Well, it changes for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, you're playing one team, so you can really lock in on what they do, and you can really work on taking away their first and second options. That's why, that's why great players tend to be more important in the playoffs, because even if you take away the first or second option, the great ones can still score. Yeah. You know, they can still create baskets. Either they score or they get layups or open threes for their teammates. So that's why, the defense tends to get better, just because you're only playing one team. And, there's no back-to-backs, and you have days off, practice, everybody practices. The film study is much more intense. You really, really dig deep and zero in on specific teams, specific players, specific sets, and you can take more things away. And everybody tends to be more engaged in the playoffs, obviously, so everybody's kind of more on point, and they get their rest, and they're not doing the normal regular season stuff that they do on off nights. They're shutting it down earlier, getting more rest. People are just in better position, in better shape to play better. So that's why the defense gets better, I think, in the playoffs. But the habits that you build are the ones that I think you have to rely on. And if you have bad habits like some teams have had, that's why it's more difficult for them to kind of turn it around when the playoffs start.
Yeah, and we've been talking mostly about the teams that are at the top half of the playoff picture, but that bottom half, I mean, it's still very jumbled. A lot of things still left to be decided. Who do you think are going to be the teams that ultimately wind up getting maybe that 6, 7, 8 spots in the East?
Well, I mean, I think right now, I think Miami's going to probably get in. I mean, just because I think they're playing the best of all the teams that are fighting for those spots. So I think Miami gets in. I must admit, I'm surprised Chicago's kind of picked it up a little bit. Now, I'm not sure how all the tiebreakers work out, to be honest with you. But I think that, Chicago's got most of the tiebreakers against Miami and Indiana, so I think they're in relatively good shape. If they wind up tied, Indiana's probably got the worst of the tie-breaking scenarios against those other two teams. So, my guess would be that Chicago and Miami get in for those reasons. But, we're talking about four games, so if you go 3-1, you're probably going to get in.
Right.
And, and Miami's got Washington twice, I think. Indiana, I think, they may have Cleveland once or twice. So, but my guess, if I had to bet, would be Chicago and Miami probably get those last two.
Yeah, I mean, and especially Chicago, because I was just looking at their schedule the other day. I mean, they played nothing but their last six games this year have been against teams that were eliminated from the playoffs more than a minute ago. So they've got a real, but you know what, though? And I wanted to ask you about this. Teams that have bad records, like Philadelphia, for example, they tend to still play hard this time of year. How do you think that's going to affect a team like Chicago, which has an easy schedule down the stretch, but they're playing teams that are probably going to play that aren't just going to show up and just let them walk over them?
Well, if they play hard, then my axiom has always been, if both teams play hard, then the more talented team should win.
Yeah.
Right?
True.
The more talented team only loses when it doesn't play as well or as hard as an inferior team. So if they're both playing hard, then I would expect Chicago to win, because Chicago's got more talent, than Philly does. But and again, Chicago should be playing hard. I mean, every game is a playoff game for these teams now.
Right.
So I mean, I don't why wouldn't you be playing hard?
Right.
Would be my question.
Yeah, especially now that. That season-ending injury that Dwayne Wade had, all of a sudden, it's not so season-ending anymore now that they're just back in the – funny how that happens.
That's amazing. There's a little bit of powers of a playoff chase.
Exactly. What kind of impact you think he'll have, in the playoffs, if he's able to go?
Well, the thing that you know about Dwayne Wade is that he can draw fouls. At his advanced age, and drawing fouls is important. It gets you to the foul. Not only gets you to the foul line, gets you 3 points, and lets you set up your defense. So having somebody who can do that regularly still is a very important thing to have. He and Jimmy Butler are both very good. So from that standpoint, Chicago, you know, you would think Chicago would be able to score, but as we know, Chicago's problems this year have been a defensive end more than anything. They just have not been very good defensively, and I don't know that there's any magic potion that's going to make them good defensively in the playoffs, especially if you're playing against, you know, teams that are better than them, you know, in the first round. I don't see how they can, you know, how they win. I think they're the least of those three teams that we talked about. To me, they're the least challenging of the three because I just don't think they're a very good defensive team. And offensively, they have way too many stretches where they just don't score. So I don't know how they can beat, you know, one of those top four teams four times.
Yeah. And just kind of shifting gears a little bit. I mean, right, you know, we're talking about the playoffs and that, but the NBA draft, NBA lottery is going to be upcoming very, very soon. The Celtics are in a great position where you're going to be one of the top seeds in the playoffs, and you're going to get that Brooklyn pick, which will probably be somewhere in the top three, top four.
Mm-hmm.
Lonzo Ball, which I'm sure you've been asked about a lot. Is that a guy that you could see the Celtics taking or the Celtics would want to take?
Sure. I mean, look, I think he and Fultz are the two guys that I'm zeroing in on, you know, and for a couple reasons. I mean, I think everybody believes that both of these guys are going to be terrific point guards in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ball is a more traditional point guard. You know, he's looking to pass all the time. He can score. He doesn't look to score all the time. Fultz is more of a scoring point. You know, a lot of people that I've talked to have think he'd probably be better in the NBA off the ball. The comparison I hear all the time is Bradley Beal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a pretty good comparison, actually. You know, I think Markel is a guy who, you know, he'll pass. He's not selfish, but he really can score. So why would you, if that's his strength, why would you play, have him on the ball and have him have decision-making responsibilities as well as score? You know, it might be better to have a really good two who can also handle. So it depends on what Boston's looking for. That, I'm sure, in turn depends on what they think the long-term prospects are for Isaiah Thomas. You know, are they going to max him out in a year? Or do they say, hey, you know, we got other guys that we're going to have to max out, or we have other guys that we're going to bring in on max contracts. We can't max them out. I don't know how that's all going to work out with, you know, with what Danny is thinking. So depending on what they think the long-term prospects are for Isaiah Thomas, like, if you think you're going to keep Isaiah Thomas and he's going to be your point guard for the rest of his career, then I'd probably take Fultz because he's got, you know, he's going to be a more natural two going forward. They could play together. But if you think, I'm not sure we're going to keep Isaiah, I'm not sure we can afford Isaiah in 2 years, then, you know, you might think about taking Ball because he's more of a point guard and you'll have your point guard for the next 10 years. You won't have to worry about it. So that's where I think the rubber's going to meet the road. I can't see them not taking one of those two if they have a top three pick because, you know, you would think one of them will be available in the top three because somebody's going to take one of the other guys, whether it's Jackson or some of the other guys that are going to be in the top five. So they should be able to get one of those guys. But again, I don't know, you know, Danny, you know how they keep it close to the vest. So
yes,
I'm not
I
sure
do.
What they think about Tatum and all the other guys. They may love Tatum for all I know. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, they may think he's the guy. But if it was me, to me, you make that decision based on what you think the long-term prospects are for keeping Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah, and you know, the one thing about Ball, and you hear this a lot, aside from his kind of funky, you know, Kevin Martin-like shooting, you know, reminds me a little bit of Bill Cartwright, even the way his shooting form, just ugly. But he's effective. So is his father in terms of marketing his kids, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as a GM, would that bother you that his father is so involved, so engaged in just, you know, just all that his son is about?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I've talked to a lot of people about that. Because, you know, we did these draft previews and we did point guards a couple weeks ago and stuff. You know, most people said, nah, it doesn't really bother me. You know, the kid seems pretty grounded. You know, it would be one thing if the kid was pumping his chest and popping his shirt every time he scored a basket. But, you know, he has no reaction on the court.
Mm.
He seems like he's very, very chill and is nothing like his father in that regard. So I don't think it's a big deal. And, you know, a couple people have even said, you know what, I actually like the fact that his father's involved in his life. You know, I mean, at least you know his father cares. You know, it's not like his father has, you know, is just showing up after, you know, not being there for him. You know, he's kind of molded all three of these kids, and you know, so they're actually like, you know what, it's a good thing to have a young man have a strong father, a strong role model, a male role model in his life coming into the draft, because that's not always the case, you know, for a lot of players coming in. So I don't think it's a big deal. You know, when guys get older, obviously, especially when they become pros, they know how to put the hand out. They pop, you know, I got this. You know, you can take a seat now. You know, I mean, so I don't think it's going to be a big deal. I mean, it's just like the other example people gave me, man, was like Richard Williams. You know, with Serena and Venus, and everybody said he was crazy and he's nuts. Why is he talking? Why is he loud talking about how great his kids are going to be? Well, you know what? He was right.
He
was that good.
Exactly.
So maybe we don't know if LeVar's going to be right about his kids, but, you know, if he thinks he's I would say this. I think Lonzo's got a real chance. You know, he certainly looks the part. He's played the part. We'll see if he's the part against grown men, but so far, so good.
Absolutely. And this podcast was very good, and thanks to you, David Aldridge, the Hall of Famer, David Aldridge from TNT, NBA TV, and NBA.com. David, thanks so much for your time. I appreciate it, my man.
Sharad, my pleasure, brother. Thank you.
Special thanks to Uncle David, David Aldridge, for joining A. Sharad Blakely there on the Celtics Talk podcast. Scal, before we get out of here, tell me about 3 games left to go. Where do you see the Celtics ending up? I mean, I think they're going to get the second seed. I can't imagine them, you know, losing out or anything like that. And if you're the second seed, are you cool with that? And what matchup would you most like to see?
Well, I don't know. Like, the Lance Stephenson to Indiana has changed that a little bit. Chicago's a team. Milwaukee and Miami are teams that I don't know if I'd want to face at this point. But, you know, once again, it is the playoffs and all these teams are really good. I kind of held out hope that they would sort of win out and Cleveland would shut guys down and they would still get the number one seed. But I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I do know that they have to be playing a little bit better than they're playing right now to, you know, like to secure that second seed. And, you know, at the end of the day, it really doesn't matter if you're not playing good basketball in the playoffs.
You know, and you and I have talked about this and I brought this up. Last season, the Celtics won 48 games, and there was a buzz, there was positivity. Now, as we come down, they're at 50 games, and it seems like, you know, people aren't as high on the Celtics as they were just a season ago. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. People are dumb. I don't know.
that could be it, too. But seriously, this Celtics team is better than last year's.
By far.
But yet, it seems like people are questioning this year's team more than last year's team.
When you say people, you mean people that don't know, right?
I'm just talking people, man. Not NBA guys.
What are you asking me?
Why is the narrative with this year's Celtics team different than last year's?
What's the narrative mean? So what you're saying is, why is the narrative with people who don't know? I'm supposed to answer a question for people who don't know? Like, how am I supposed to answer a question for people that don't know?
You're the Scalabrini. You're the Scalabrini.
No, but
you're supposed to know these things.
I don't even know what you're asking me now.
No, I'm asking, 48 wins a season ago.
Okay.
People were high on this team.
They thought that they were going to win a championship?
No,
okay,
no.
Tell me where they thought.
That was a more satisfactory season, I feel like, than we are now. Like, I feel like people are not judging this team regular season-wise. This team is ultimately to be judged postseason. Whereas last season, 48 wins, everybody was happy. All right, you can beat Atlanta, but if you don't, it's okay. Now you got 50 wins, you would think people would be like, oh, it's been a great season. But I feel like some people are reserving that for the postseason. Like, all right, we've seen you win 48 games before. Now you've won 50. But what are you going to do in the postseason?
Are you going to get out of the first round?
Right. That's what I think people are you know, last year they were just at 48 wins. Go ahead. Give me that look about.
But the first round hasn't happened yet. And I do think this team is going to get out of the first round. So if they get out of the first round, is it a better season?
Yes.
Okay. Then.
But is it already a better season? Even not, if they did, no. Or is it ultimately it's all about playoffs?
Yeah, Kyle. Kyle.
But people were geeked up last year for 48 wins, Scout.
No, I was not geeked people up were, about the way that last year ended. I was not geeked up at the way that last year, at the end of the season, how it played out. I wish we would have played somebody different than Atlanta. Yeah, yeah. I thought Atlanta was a terrible matchup right. for us. So I thought that we should have got it. We could have got out of the first round if you take care of one game end up playing Miami. I thought we would have crushed Miami. You know, but it was one of those things where you play Atlanta and, you know, we get blasted and Avery Bradley gets hurt and Isaiah gets shut down. But, I just thought it was a bad ending to a season last year. I thought they could have went to the second round. Okay, let me just tell you where I'm at because I don't know
tell
what
me,
your
yeah,
question.
Yeah, where are you at?
And I would be if it's a knock it out, drag it out, game seven in the second round versus Toronto and Washington, and somehow we come up short, I'm not disappointed.
Right.
If we get blasted in the second round by Toronto and Washington, then I'm disappointed. If we lose in the first round, I'm disappointed. If we get blasted by Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals, I'm not disappointed. Right? So that's where I stand. I want, if it's a knock it out, drag it out, second round series, anything less than, I'm disappointed. Anything more than, I'm happy. That's where I'm at.
Where are you at right now with this regular season?
So when I look at our team, I look out and say, Toronto, you see Kyle Lowry played last night. He's back. They're a little frightening. And Washington is a little frightening as well. So, you know, like I where I'm at is the same place. A knockout, drag it out series with any of those two teams. Where it can go either way, it's a good season for us.
So we're on the same level as Toronto and Washington, you think? Yes, sir.
But
I think we're in that grouping with them. I think it's Cleveland, and then
it can Toronto, go either way, right?
Yeah, either of those teams can make it to Eastern Conference.
We can win, and they can win, but it could be like a bad call, a bounce of the ball. It could go any way, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if any of those teams is going to establish any type of dominance over another team. That's how I am with that. Now, I think Cleveland will establish dominance over all three of those teams. So that's where I'm at.
This wasn't that painful, was it,
Jim? Well, I like talking to you. I'm just saying you're too little for me, man. Like, it's like LeBron respects coming to the Garden and playing the Celtics, but they're too little for him right now.
No, but James Jones is on LeBron's team. James Jones ain't too little for LeBron. LeBron brought him along. James, wherever you go, I go. How come I can't get that love? Good one, right?
That's a pretty good one, right?
LeBron brought Mike Miller along for the ride for a while. I may not be an all-star, but I hit the big shots.
Yeah, but I'm not like LeBron. Like, my leadership is not like that. I'm more like Jordan.
Right.
Where I'm like you either on board or you off. I'm not like, hey, everybody, let's bring my friends along and my buds. I don't have a posse. I don't have an entourage. I don't have any of those things. I'm just me. So I go, and you either get on board or you're left off behind.
All right, man. Let's get out of here. Thanks, Scout, for joining us on the Celtics Talk podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher, Google Play, all the podcasting apps, and leave a review also as the Celtics season winds down. We'll catch you next week on the Celtics Talk podcast.